Happy Feast of the Divine Mercy again. You probably have heard that our Lord Jesus had appeared to St. Faustina Kowalska in private revelations during the 1930s in Poland and asked her to spread this devotion to God's mercy far and wide. And the Lord asked her to have an image made that would reflect this merciful love that he wanted all the world to know. St. Faustina's description of Jesus would inspire many artistic depictions, but the one you see depicted up here is one of the two most popular ones. This is the Vilnius rendition of the Divine Mercy. So that's why this image is up here. The central message of Divine Mercy is that God wants to pour out his merciful love upon us. And what is mercy? Mercy simply is God's love poured out upon a broken world. Right? What love takes on the form of mercy when love meets brokenness and sin. So God wants to lavish upon us the loving grace that heals our spiritual wounds and washes away our sins, no matter what they are. Right? God's mercy is much bigger than your sins. There is no comparison. Maybe you have one transgression that you say, man, God must hate me. He couldn't possibly forgive me for this sin. Well, you know what? Get over yourself. Right? What Jesus accomplished by his cross and resurrection and the divine mercy that flows from that paschal mystery and his passionate love for you are much bigger than all the sins ever committed by the entirety of humankind, much less your one particular sin. And this is not to trivialize what may surely be mortal sins, because we know how deeply hurt and wounded people can be because of a grave transgression, particularly when we are the ones on the receiving end of some horrible offense or violation. But God's desire to pour out his mercy even upon the gravest of transgressors reveals the unfathomable depth of God's loving mercy for you and for all of humanity. The only sin God can't forgive falls into one of two extremes. The sin of saying that God cannot forgive me for this sin, right? Which is despair. And the other and more common extreme these days is the sin of thinking we don't need God or his mercy. I'm not that bad of a person. I don't need God's mercy. I don't need God. He might not even exist. Who knows? Friends, each and every one of us need God and his mercy more than anything, more than food, more than water, even more than oxygen. Why? Because food, drink, and air are what sustains our temporal physical bodies. But it's the mercy of God and the life of God, the Holy Spirit, that sustains our souls. What will the condition of our souls be at the moment of death? All the worldly things that we think are such a big deal, that we spend much of our life obsessing about, will mean nothing at that point. And in the bigger picture of things, our lives will just be beginning. This truth that we need God's mercy more than anything else was especially impressed upon me this past week, celebrating, you know, the masses of four funerals, two of which were folks who had an earthly life long lived, and two of which had their earthly lives seemingly cut short in their 30s. One of them, you may have heard, was parishioner Mary Mills, wife of Rick Mills and mother of three young children, Joseph, Teresa, and Brian. Mary had two other siblings who died very young from a similar heart condition, but somehow she made it through childhood. As one relative put it, we had the blessing of having her 39 more years than we thought we would, along with three beloved children who would not be here today were it not for Mary's life. You may recognize her husband, Rick, because he often proclaims the scriptures here at Mass. And he's also on the board of our Catholic Charities of Jackson County. So Rick has come up to the lectern over here, annually to give us updates about our Catholic Charities work for the disadvantaged and less fortunate in our community. So even amidst Rick's grieving and mourning, he still was expressive of his thanks to our St. John family. And I asked Rick if I could share the letter he gave us and delivered it, and that he delivered at the funeral this past Wednesday, since the letter is addressed to all of us at St. John. It said this: "Dear St. John's family, our Lord taught us, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Joseph, Teresa, Brian, and I are incredibly blessed and comforted by the amazing outpouring of love and support that we have received this week. It is hard to describe just how loved it made us feel and how much it has honored the memory of our beloved wife and mother. You are all beautiful witnesses to our beloved faith. You have shown the Jackson community just how Catholics and all of our other Christian brothers and sisters lift up those in need in their darkest hour. St. John's has been the parish home of our families for generations, and I am comforted to know that my Mary will soon rest in the sacred soil of St. John's Cemetery along with her siblings and ancestors, just feet away from God's holy altar. I will be honored to one day join her there. I am so very grateful that Mary and I sacrifice, like all school families do, to send our children to St. John's School, where Christy Blair and every single teacher, staff member, and volunteer treats our children like their own, with the same love that Mary gave them. They sacrifice much to run our little school, and I owe them my undying gratitude. Your love and support has given us great hope and comfort, despite the tragedy that struck our family in this most holy time of the year." So she died during Holy Week, if you recall. "Through the darkness, the light of Christ, the Lumen Christi, shines bright in our home, our school, and our parish through you. We will walk the path before us by the light of faith and your companionship, and not by sight. The Lord gave me my best friend and partner. He has taken her away in his holy will. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and blessed be the entire St. John's community." Oh, with gratitude in Christ, Richard C. Mills. Whew. What but the grace of his mercy gives us the assurance, even in the midst of the utmost grief, that God will restore all things in Christ, that he will bring to fulfillment the good work he has begun in us. Even as our earthly bodies pass away and decay, our souls will live on in eternity. And at that point, what will the state of our souls be? Will we have said no to God because of lifting up other things or ourselves as gods? Those things that have caused us to say we're too busy for God? Or will we have said yes to God, as Mary did? Yes to the need of his mercy in our life. Yes to his invitation to a life lived in the Holy Spirit. God offers and imparts that life of the Holy Spirit through a number of ways, but the primary means by which we receive his mercy and that life of the Holy Spirit are through prayer and the sacraments. Those are the two primary ways we come into contact with the life of God and deepen our relationship with him. So that first way, the grace of the sacraments, is why we come to Mass each Sunday. Because flowing from the wounded side and the sacred heart of Jesus are the graces of his mercy, sacramentally offered to us in what is symbolized by those two rays emanating from Jesus' side in that image of divine mercy. The waters of baptism, by which we initially receive the Holy Spirit, and the Eucharist, by which we receive the body and blood of Christ. And we also receive the life of the Holy Spirit through prayer. Sacraments, of course, are prayers, but by no means is it the only way of praying. That's why in this year of prayer, we have been teaching various ways of praying and emphasizing the utmost importance of a daily prayer life. You know, praying privately with God is essential, but so is praying with our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we also experience God through other members of Christ's body, the saints. Saints in a more universal fashion. Saints not only in heaven, but saints as you and me, because that's our destiny. That's who we'll be for all eternity, right? So which is why we encourage small groups, whereby we strengthen one another in prayer and in the study of our faith. We can also receive the healing mercy of God in a powerful way when we open ourselves to being prayed over. Right, this is particularly helpful in removing obstacles that we or the evil spirits of fear and unforgiveness, among others, subconsciously create blocks or obstacles to receiving the healing mercy that God wants to free us, wants to give us. Right? We see in the Gospels over and over again, Jesus praying over many people, healing them of both their physical and spiritual maladies. And in Jesus' training of his disciples, he tells them that you will be doing even greater works in my name. Those greater works, those are what we will be reading about throughout Easter in the Acts of the Apostles, the mystical body of Christ at work. In today's first reading, we read, many signs and wonders were done among the people. A large number of people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem also gathered, bringing the sick and those disturbed by unclean spirits. So there you see God healing both physical and spiritual maladies, curing the sick and those disturbed by unclean spirits. Friends, the healing ministry of Jesus Christ continues powerfully to this day in and through his disciples, both in the clergy and the laity. A big reason why we don't see more signs and wonders today is because we lack people stepping out in faith. But this was the whole aim of our Encounter School of Healing that we had with us this weekend. For those who don't know what the Encounter School of Healing is, it's the ministry that Father Matthias Thelen and some laymen began in order to empower people to continue the healing ministry of Jesus. They hold these schools of healing mainly in Brighton at Father Matthias's home parish, but they have been doing them nationally now, preparing people to assist at healing services because of the large numbers that come, and to provide healing prayer in the midst of everyday life. We had over 125 people here in our parish center since Friday evening, being trained in how to listen to the promptings of God the Holy Spirit and how to pray over people for healing. Who was at that School of Healing? Can you raise your hand here? We got one. Who was at the healing service? Okay, we have another there. So those 125 plus folks were not just from our parish, but from all over Michigan. We even let people from Notre Dame and Ohio come. Aren't we so charitable? There were actually some folks who came up from all the way down in Florida as well, just for this, not like in town for, you know. They got a taste of what April temperatures were like up here. But anyway, they put into practice what they learned, culminating in last night's healing service that went until when? Do you know what time it went till? I had to go soon. What? 11:30. So, you know, Father Matthias has conducted a couple of healing services here at St. John in years past, and it's always been packed, so we had it down at St. Mary's Star of the Sea for a little more capacity. And as in the past, incredible physical healings occurred, signs and wonders that reveal the mercy of God outpoured, right? When love meets a broken world, when love manifests itself in a broken world, mercy. For Father Matthias has never led a healing service where physical healings haven't occurred, which would be later confirmed through medical verification, right? But and last night was no different. It's one thing to hear about them, but then to see the people you know, people who may not even be very religious in the past, go up there and testify to the healing they experience is something else. Right? We had our MVP of Lumen Christi's football team got a scholarship to play Division I next year. He got healed of an injury he suffered and went in front of everybody and testified to it. We had numerous people with disabilities doing things they haven't been able to do in the past. So God raises up disciples to be his healing hands and his feet that seek out those who need God's healing mercy, which is something all of us need. You know, Pope Benedict said something that Father Brian has repeated to me a few times now, so it's in my head, since he got back from that Holy Desire priest retreat he went on earlier this year, which I actually will be attending this week. Papa B said this: healing is an essential dimension of the apostolic mission and of Christian faith in general. When understood at a sufficiently deep level, this expresses the entire content of redemption. The entire content of redemption. In other words, this is what it's all about, is healing. Yes, God's salvation is about saving us from eternal damnation, but the work of salvation is about here and now as well. The process of sanctification, of healing, goes up until eternity, from now until eternity. That word salvation, what's another word for ointment that we put for healing and protection? Salve, right? Salve. Salve, the root word of salvation. See, God's mercy is not just about forgiveness, it's also about healing and redemption, making us whole so that we can be agents of healing here and now in a broken world. If you find yourself like St. Thomas in today's gospel, who said, you know what, I just can't believe it until I see it for myself. Well, you don't really have an excuse, because if that's you, you can go see it for yourself at St. Patrick's in Brighton, right? Where Encounter Ministries does these healing services a few times a year. So God still works today through clergy and lay people alike. The signs and wonders are there for us to see. And many of us don't need miracles to believe. Remember what Jesus said about them? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed, who still surrender their lives fully to the Lord and follow in his ways without seeing the miracles. But if we haven't surrendered to the Lord, do we seek so as to find? Or do we not go and seek because we really don't want to believe, because we're afraid of what that might mean for our own lives? If that's you, Jesus is urging you today: do not be unbelieving, but believe.